I'm Becky from Care for the Family, and it's great to be here today with Anna Smith.
Hey.
Hi, Anna. And we're going to be talking a little bit about parenting and bringing up our children to love Jesus. So, Anna, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, yeah. Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm married to Martin Smith, who used to be in a band called Delirious, and now he's singing and doing other stuff. I've got six children. We've been married 25 years. My eldest, Ellie, is 21, and she got married last year, which was a huge change. I've got Noah, who's 19, and he's in Birmingham. And then I have Indy, who's 18 and living at home. Levi, who is just turned 16 this week. Ruby, who's 13. And Mary, who's just turned 11 as well. So I'm a busy mum, loving being at home in this season and just being with the kids. I've also written a book quite a while ago now called Meet Mrs. Smith, which I love doing, which was talking about life in those early years when it was pretty tough, and travelling. Yeah. So yeah, busy.
Busy life, yes. Yeah. And I can't quite imagine having six children. I've only got two. So, but what were your expectations about parenting before you had children?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of five. So I've been brought up with, you know, and my dad was a pastor of a church. So, you know, having that upbringing with lots of people in the family. I don't think I ever set out to have six children. I think it was definitely something I thought, oh, I'll have one and see how I go. So, yeah, we ended up having six. Not quite sure how, but...
Brilliant. It's a busy household.
It's a busy household.
And so what's it like having six children? Apart from being busy, what's it like?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good when everything's good, and it could be really bad when everything's bad. You know, it's the same thing. I think when people say, how do you do six? Sometimes it's easier to have more than it is to have less. Logistically, of course, and my time, you know, having fitting time for all of them is tough. You know, you don't have as much time as if you had two. You have more time with them. But, you know, kept going and just keep smiling and crying together and just doing life.
Yeah. And what's it been like? You mentioned your husband being in a band. What's it been like having a husband who's really well known in the Christian world? How has that affected? Has it been made it easier or more difficult bringing your children up?
I think maybe that would be a good question to ask them, I guess. But I think that it definitely has its strengths, but obviously sometimes expectations for the children and on me as a wife. I think people expect you to have it all together and expect you to have the perfect children somehow. I don't know why, but you know, I struggle with the same things as probably everybody does. And you know, the children have questions and they want to ask about their faith and, you know, do I believe this? Don't I? And I want to be with them in that. And I want to not tell them how they should think. No, you ask those questions and we'll just chat about that. And that's what I want to encourage, is the questions and is the doubts and why, you know, why do you do that? And that's, for me, really encouraging and part of life.
So at the Kitchen Table Project, we're talking about inspiring faith in our children. Yeah. So can you tell me why you want your children to love Jesus?
I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love what he's done for me in my life. And I would love for them to experience that. And I think not just for me, I think they see other people who they're inspired by. And I think that I would love my kids to follow Jesus, because for me, it's just been incredible. And it's just helped me in my life and my faith. But they're going to have to do their journey. I'm not making them be Christians. They're going to find, I hope and I pray that they find their Heavenly Father and who he is for them and a relationship with him.
Yeah, absolutely. We often talk about the need to be real. So how do you keep your own relationship with God going in such a busy household?
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's not easy, is it, for any of us? But I think keeping authenticity is huge. Being real, and my relationship with God is I just think we do life together. I'd chat with him when I wake up, and I'd chat with him during the school run, and I pray continually in my heart and in my head. I just feel, God, you've got to fill my whole day. Please be with me in everything that I'm doing, from making their bed sometimes in the morning. I pray for their day to, I don't know, nighttime bath, whatever it is, just bringing God into it all, asking him for help, this being aware of what he's talking to me about. That whole relationship thing is an ongoing thing rather than a separate thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes we can feel that pressure to do it the way that we've learned, to sit down and have an hour praying and reading the Bible. But that doesn't work often when you're busy.
It hasn't worked for me. So I think you just have just got to adapt. And I, now the children are at school, it is a different season. So you do have more time to be able to do that. And recognising that it is a seasonal thing, it might not be forever tough and having to do this in this way, but just swinging with it. Don't get too upset. Don't get too cross with yourself or cross with the situation. It's seasonal, it will pass, and there'll be time to do other things in another season.
We talk a lot about trying to be more intentional about talking about God with our children so that they get glimpses of what life with him is like. How do you do that with your children, and how have you done it when they've been growing up?
Yeah, I think every day you just want to bring God into every conversation. Whatever they've been through, I want them to know that he's always been there, that God is with you in the good times and the bad times, and to thank him for that and to give him gratitude and be aware of that.
What practical ways have you discovered to help your children to grow in love for Jesus, really?
Yeah, music again is huge, getting them to love their Bibles. And that's a real challenge. I think even from young age, when you're talking about the little ones, reading them stories of who Jesus is, being intentional about that. Friendships are huge, you know, as they're getting older as well, having friends that they can talk to, people that they're inspired by, people that they can look up to and chat with, those sort of things. And of course, they're watching you continually. They're watching me, so I can say whatever I want them to think. The bottom line is they're watching me and what I'm doing, so I can say one thing and be doing another. That's not authentic to them. So I think just being really true to who you are is really essential as well, because that's, you know, that's who they're watching at the end of the day. So authentic, be truthful, and having other people other than yourself around the table that they can talk to, that in the teenage years they may be not going to you because, you know, you're their mum or you're their dad, you know. So they are going to go to other people, and I want to build a community of people that I, and they're going to build the community of people that they feel that they can trust and go to with some questions. And I love that. That to me is healthy.
Have you got any examples of ways in which you try to be authentic so that your children can see a real view of what living with God is like?
I think that happens probably, I don't think about it, but I think it's happening how you're speaking to somebody at, you know, at the till, how you're speaking to somebody who cuts you up in the car. It's those everyday things that you think, you know, how do I react? How am I being?
And what about times where it goes wrong?
Oh, yeah, there's many of them.
Yeah, I have lots of times where I end up shouting at my children you know, my husband and I have an argument.
Yeah.
How do you deal with those sorts of situations in the home?
Yeah, I think that those things happen quite a lot. Things go wrong. And how do we cope when things go wrong? Well, if you have an argument with your husband, I mean, the little things that have helped Martin and me, if we have an argument in front of the children, we're going to make up. We're going to say sorry to each other. Let them see the resolve of these things, because that's life. That is how. If you're cross about something, then you're going to be angry. That's OK. It's how you then resolve that. And then what do you do with these feelings and emotions? Rather than, I think sometimes we feel we need to box them and not feel them. I think it's really healthy to allow these things and then do apologise, say sorry. Go to God, ask him for help, have prayer. Those are the things that I think every day we need to be doing ourselves, and therefore our kids are going to watch that and, you know, want to be like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that helps them grow in faith anyway, doesn't it? It gives them a more realistic perspective, maybe.
Absolutely.
And it's exciting to see them grow then, knowing the right way to live, I guess.
Yeah. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes they think they don't want to do it like that. And it's that everyday stuff, which is messy. Things aren't clean. Things, your children, especially as they get older, are going to have their own opinions and their own thoughts. And that's been challenging. But I would way prefer that at this age, where we can have those bigger conversations around the table that we can all chat, rather than them feel they've got to think or believe or fit into some sort of box.
No, that's great. So I've got two boys, but they are completely different. One likes craft and is quite conscientious and focuses, has got a good attention span. The other one is completely crazy, climbs the walls and is all over the place. So how have you had to adjust to talk to them about, to different personalities in your children about God?
Yeah, I think it's always a challenge again. It's working out how their connection with God, and actually the bottom line is they've got to find that for themselves. I can help them. You know, I've got one that's super creative. Again, music is huge in this house, so they will often come to a piano and just play and express their emotions and, you know, stuff through that. And I think allowing them to find their relationship with God and who he is, again, is a challenge. Some of my children love reading, so they'll read amazing books and get closer to God and ask questions. Some of them, you know, aren't interested in that. I've got one who's incredibly sporty, and, you know, she wants to be on the football pitch a lot. And so trying to, how does God fit into that? How do I get her to, you know, it's a challenge. One of them struggles with church sometimes, you know, they don't want to go. It's continually asking God on an everyday basis, give me what I need today in order, give me wisdom, give me the words, tell me when to speak, tell me when to be quiet. Give me, God, everything that I need today to do today well and to be the best mum I can for my kids. And sometimes I have a good day and sometimes it all goes pear-shaped and it's not great. And it's adapting, learning that it's not all about me as well. Don't take it on board. Don't feel guilty that it's all up to me. Actually, God sees the bigger picture. He's a heavenly father. He understands. He's kind. You know, going over things that he is, he's new mercies every day. You know, holding on to those little proverbs, those little truths, actually are really freeing and allow me to be who I am as well. You know, I am a mum, but I'm a wife, I'm a sister, you know, I'm a friend. I want to be good in all those areas. So it's allowing me to be me as well and not take on board all the bad stuff and the guilt that I know a lot of mums do.
So you mentioned that one of your children doesn't really like going to church at the moment. How do you deal with that? What do you say?
And when I say one of them, I'm sure all of them at some stage would just say, do you know what? And even myself, you know, hands up, days that I have felt like, do you know what? I'm not sure I can walk in to a whole group of people today. I don't feel it. And so we talk very much as a family about how we feel and when we feel like doing things and when we don't feel like doing things and what do you do with that. And there is definitely a balance. We're not all robots and we don't all feel things. But and then there's the discipline and there's something that's good for you that we all know is super important as well. So I think letting them know that sometimes we don't feel, and at different ages you probably have to go different ways. But for one of mine at the minute who is struggling to go to church, I just say, come on, we'll do this. I know you maybe don't feel it. Mum understands that. Let them know you understand. I think that feeling of doing something is really quite strong. So letting them know you understand, but knowing that this is good for them. So I think it's allowing, letting them know you understand those feelings, but also being really authentic and discipline is sometimes good in that.
It's hard not to care about what other people think when you don't take your child to church, perhaps, or you feel like you need to be doing something. What would you say to parents that are struggling with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real deal. I'm a pastor's kid, so I remember those feelings of how it should look. And I think that's probably made me want to maybe do the opposite sometimes and think, I'm not going to do what this looks like. I want to be really authentic in who I am. And so I think not rebelling against, because I'm not up for that, I've got no time for the rebelling thing, but just being really true and really authentic about how we feel about stuff and allowing my children to feel that.
And that helps them feel valued, I guess, as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And then be praying for the areas that they're finding hard in church. Yeah. You know, friendship groups are really, if you haven't got a friend in church or you haven't got something that you really love, or you don't enjoy the worship, or it's too loud. These things are real, and you don't want to belittle those things. So I think just listening, understanding, coming alongside, praying for some of this stuff is really important.
So my son came home recently and said to me, Mum, what if God isn't real? And I was so taken aback, and I really didn't know how to respond, really. How have you dealt with difficult questions like that?
Yeah, Well, firstly, I want to say what an amazing thing that he was able to come home and say that to you, because that says a lot about your parenting and you allowing him to have that freedom to ask those questions, because he didn't feel, I better not, because I know what Mum would want me to say. He felt freedom in asking, hey, Mum, you know, what about this? What about that? And I think that's absolutely beautiful that you've enabled him to be like that, that he's going to continually ask those questions. And they might get, by the way, they might get a bit tougher, but if you keep that flow of like, you know, ask me, keep chatting, keep talking, keep relating, I think it's incredible. And sometimes you won't have the answers, but somebody else will have another great perspective. Again, round the table, opening it up, allowing other people to speak in and say things. And maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a grandparent, somebody from the church, you know, that's come over for dinner. So again, my biggest thing is keeping your doors open, allowing people to come through the door, sitting around the table, having food in the middle. It doesn't matter what sort of food it is, just put some food in the middle, and allowing people to speak, allowing people to open up and to say what they really feel. And sometimes we'll all end in laughter, sometimes it'll all be tears, sometimes there'll be a disagreement and an argument, but allowing them to speak out what's going on inside of them. Some of those, sometimes the deepest stuff that's pretty full on and heavy, allowing, nothing's frightening, no one's going to react. You're in a loving, kind place where, and it's safe. Allowing that safety in your home for any question to be asked, no judgment, alongside, together, is huge. So well done.
I guess trusting that God can answer some of these big questions too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Praying about these things, yeah. Allowing God to speak to us, having a look through scripture. What does God, I don't understand that. Let's look at this together. Let's study this more. I think not feeling like you've got to have all the questions, but actually going to the Bible, going to where the answers are for some of this stuff, and doing that together is huge. So, and I'd love to say I do that all the time. I don't. You know, life is busy. Sometimes I do it. Sometimes I get them to do it on their own. Sometimes I say, oh, go and ask so-and-so at church. They know about that stuff. So, you know, it's just meeting them where they're at, and listening to them, again, is another huge area which is super important.
Yeah, I think that's really reassuring that you don't always know what to do or what to say. And have there been specific people that you've asked to kind of help mentor your children, or like adults that you've asked?
I think I like the season they're in, they know who to go to. Yeah. They know the people that they want to listen to. So I think allowing, rather than me choosing those people, being in a church which is so varied and vast with lots of people from all walks of life, and you know, amazing grandparents and what aunties and uncles that they can go to and ask these questions as well.
So how has your parenting changed as your children have entered the teenage years? Has it been quite a challenge?
I don't think I've seen it as changed, because I think even from little ones, I wanted them to have, like what you just said about your son having his coming to you, even at the age he is, with some questions. Just keep that going. Keep on stuff that you can't suddenly change. You're going to just keep on that seed that you've sown in those early years. It will come to fulfillment, and you do see the fruit. You do see the other side of that hard labour that you've done in those early years. And that's what I'd say to a lot of people who have got young children. It might seem really tough, but you will see the fruit of that. But I think it's just a continual thing. I mean, obviously, teenagers in this day and age, it's super tough for them. The social media thing, I didn't have to cope with growing up. So it's a whole new ball game. And I'm, hands up, I am messing this up left, right and centre. I don't know the rules. I don't know what is okay and isn't. But let's do this together. Let's chat about it, about what they think. And then I'll think what I think. And let's just be in a group and work out how we're going to do this. You know, what apps are good, what aren't, what's helpful. And, you know, we learn by our mistakes. We're not going to get it all right, but I'm doing the best I can. And that's all I want them to know, that Mum isn't perfect. And sometimes I get it wrong and sometimes I get it right. And we're just all learning this together. And apologising is huge as well.
Do you have other parents that you talk to about all teenagers?
The time. All the time. Yeah. And also people who have done the teenage years, looking to them, what has helped you. I'm continually asking questions for the people. I think it's really difficult though, because I think the social media and technology has come on so quickly. So I think it is a whole different season that I'm literally learning by the seat of my pants and just thinking, okay, God, you're going to have to help me here, because the generation above us didn't have to cope with some of this stuff. It's so accessible. Life is so accessible for our teenagers that you really, really need that Solomon wisdom, that wisdom that is cuts through everyday stuff, that is straight from God. And I just need to know what that is for me and my family and for what's going on here. And it might be different to somebody else. And I've just got to be so in tune with what God's saying and so reliant on him, on my knees. You're going to have to help me, God. I don't have this sewn up. I don't know the answers, but you do. And you love my kids more than I do. And that's what's important.
So how do you help your children stay strong in their faith, even in the midst of social media and a culture that's pulling them in different directions?
Yeah, I think it's a constant battle. But I think, again, I know I've said this so many times, but just talking to them about what are they looking at? What, you know, especially Instagram is huge. So what images, do you think those images are true? Let's talk about this. How does it make you feel? And I think, you know, for myself, I'm probably on it too much. So I'd bring it back to myself. It's very easy to point the finger at your children when actually they're watching you. And so I think I've got to be really true to how much time I'm spending on it and what's going on with me. And then I think, let's have a conversation. If they think I'm spending too much time on my phone, let's have a conversation about that. It doesn't have to be angry. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. It can be just an everyday conversation. Hey, Mum, sometimes you're on. We can have those conversations. And I think for them, again, we can chat about that. I have a rule of no phones at the table. They all love that rule. They like the feeling. We go for a holiday and actually one of our rules is nobody takes their phone. And it's not a rule. Actually, it's something we have all decided. I decided to put my phone, not take it. And so one by one, they love that time of just switching off and unplugging and just being together. I think they have had to become more aware of, you know, the truth and the lies on social media in particular.
So have you taken an interest in your children's lives? Have you got any examples of how you stay connected to them?
Yeah, I think there's, again, as I was saying, I think it's trying to keep connected wherever there are. One of them is really sporty, so just supporting her on the sideline of the football pitch. And then one of them loves Fortnite at the minute, and I know, which is a game which they can get quite addicted to. And I think that, you know, there are obviously issues with how much screen time should they be on these games? And everyone's got a different opinion, and I really value it. I haven't got this right, by the way. I'm just saying that what I have found being really helpful is, rather than be cross with them for gaming or, you know, being on a screen, is to come alongside them and see why these games are addictive and understand, actually, 3 minutes to the end of Fortnite, they're maybe their dinner can wait until 3 minutes, because when you sit and you've played the game, you understand it's like turning off a film 3 minutes before the end. You know, they're just there, it's ready, you know, they've nearly completed it. And once you've sat with them and understood the game, I don't know, there is an understanding there between you of, okay, when does this next game finish? Okay, it finishes in five. Have a togetherness on it. Okay, in 5 minutes, can that be the last game? Because then we're just going to have dinner, or we're going to have time out. So again, it's not like this huge distance of what you think and they're really passionate about. It's an understanding of that and alongside and being together in something. I've sat there and played the game. I understand how addictive it is. I get it. You're on there and you're like, I'm nearly finished. And so I think, again, just being alongside, understanding, you know, why they feel so passionate about these things and why. And then again, talking about the dangers of that. You know, this can be quite addictive. You know, are there any other things that we could do now? Because maybe we need to have a break from this. So I think just continually talking and chatting about where each of them are at and what their passions are and why they're passionate about that, I think is really important.
So So what's the biggest thing that you have learnt about parenting and trying to inspire faith in your children?
Oh, biggest thing I've learnt?
Yes.
Well, where do I begin there? That's a tricky one, isn't it? I just continually learning daily. The biggest thing, I think it's that they're all super individual and that their needs are, there is nothing, they're so different, ridiculously different, that it's just a challenge to keep meeting them where they're at. And today, especially having teenagers with all the hormones flying around the house, knowing how each of them, you know, what their love language is, what, how they're feeling that day, what's going on at school, what conversations are they having, just being interested in what they're interested in and being aware of their needs.
So what advice would you give to mums and dads who've got younger children now that you've been through that stage? Yeah. and they're wondering, or we're wondering, how do we talk to our children about Jesus? What things are key?
Yes.
What opportunities shouldn't we miss? What advice would you give?
Loads of advice. I think one of the things is be really kind to yourself, because I think there's so much pressure to be doing everything and you're hearing one thing from that person. I remember, maybe it's because I had so many, but I just lived in this kind of cloud of no sleep when my children, it literally was a cloud. So I, you know, just getting through a day just felt so huge. And if you are a one-parent family, if you're working, or if you have a child with additional needs, all of those things become a lot harder as well. So I think just getting through life is really tough for a lot of people, getting up, getting out of bed, getting their children ready. And I think sometimes feeling of the other things you're not doing, again, can bring guilt, and you just line yourself up with everyone and just think, I'm failing. So I would definitely start from the place of just hand your life over to Jesus. Give it to him every day. He knows you. He loves you. He knows what your day looks like. He knows your children. He loves your children. Just be open to him and let him speak through you to them. And just practically, again, your prayer life, just being, I don't want to be that stressed mother that shouts at their kids before they go. I don't want to. So practically, I don't, okay, maybe if I get up a little bit earlier, maybe if I have it all set out before, you know, the night before, if I'm a bit more organised in myself, then maybe I won't be that person that I don't want to be. And so I think practically speaking, being quite a planner for me has really helped. I know not everybody's the same, because some people love that chaotic life and just grabbing stuff. But for me, I find that, maybe because, again, I had lots of children, that I love order and I know that I want to be the mum who, you know, that score. And hands up, it doesn't always work out like that. I often end up being that scream, where's your shoes? Haven't you got it? Even when it was all planned. But I think having that general feeling of just being a little bit, little bit proactive and just working out what the next day is going to bring and what you're going to need. But the bottom line is, please don't let's not do ourselves in. Looking back at that season, I think I took on board a lot, and I wish I'd been a bit kinder to myself. I wish I'd kind of allowed God to just, you know, he loves us. He smiles. He watches those really tough moments, and he cries with us in the laundry room when it's like this big and you're like, how am I going to get through all this washing? And that's not adding on the other things which are going on in our own lives, our own struggles, our family issues. You know, God sees it all and he's alongside us. And I think that for me has been the biggest thing, that whatever season I'm going through, that God is alongside me and he sees.